Mrs. Yu, where are your parents from?
My parents were both from the Canton area of China, but I have no idea what little village or anything that either one of them came from. But since at that time, practically all of the immigrants were from that Toisan area.
Did you speak Samyup or Sayup with your parents?
I think it was Sayup.
Sayup? Did your parents marry in China or marry
no,
here?
No, they married here. I think in San Francisco. I couldn't be sure, but they were in California when they married.
Do you know roughly when your parents came over to the States?
I have no idea, other than that my mother was a very young girl, like a child, you know. And my father, as far as I know, was a young boy, I think.
Do you know anything about how they met, how they got together?
No.
And your parents had how many children?
There were 11 originally. Four died before I was born, and I'm the last of the 11.
And who were the seven that are?
Well, there's the one that became a doctor. Her name was Margaret, Dr. Margaret Chung. And then my brother Andrew, my sister Anna, my brother Virgil, and two more sisters, Venus Mildred and Florence. Her name was Venus, but she hated it, so she changed it to Mildred when she got into high school. And then I'm the last.
What was the age span between the eldest and the youngest?
Must have been about 15 years, I think.
And what did your parents do?
I know that at one time my mother was a court interpreter here in Los Angeles. My father, I think most of his life, was a farmer, and one time he had a dairy. But most of all, it was farming.
And what were your parents' names?
My mother was Minnie Chan, and my father was Chung Wong.
And you had mentioned to me earlier that your parents passed away when you were 8 years old?
Well, I was only six when my mother died. And she died of TB. My father was killed in an automobile accident, his first and only automobile. He got caught between the two Pasadena red cars, and he was killed when I was eight.
What do you mean by the two Pasadena red cars?
They were going opposite ways, and he got caught in between the two of them in the car. I know one leg was cut off, and I think he mostly died from loss of blood.
Where have you lived in Los Angeles?
If you mean you want the actual addresses?
If possible, no. or roughly the locations.
Well, I know while my mother was still living, we lived down on Hewitt Street, and then we lived someplace, when at the time she died, we were living on the east side. I have no idea what street that was. And then when my father his dairy was in the little town of Vernon, on Vernon and Santa Fe. And then we moved to 54th Street, which was not too far from where the dairy had been. And from And that's where we were living when he was killed. Then we moved to in closer to town on 10th Street so that my brothers could go to work in the market, which, you know, is on 9th in San Pedro. So we were living quite close to that area so they could walk to work. And then when my sister finished her internship, we moved to Pasadena, where we lived until 1927. That I remember because that's when I graduated.
And then after Pasadena?
I moved back here to Los Angeles with my sister Anna. I've forgotten what street that was on. And
is it in Chinatown or outside
of
Chinatown?
No. It was, it also was not too far from the 9th Street Market. I don't know, I've forgotten what it is. Mm-hmm. And, I had met my future husband when I was my last year of high school in Pasadena. And he and I joined the circus together.
What circus?
Algie Barnes Circus. And I was the... the prima donna, somebody called me. I don't know. I played the part of it was in the spectacle where they have a stage program first, and I was the turn that off till I can think of it.
Was this Algie Barnes Circus in Los Angeles?
Their winter quarters at that time was in Culver City. But we started our tour down in San Diego and worked our way up the coast all the way up to Seattle. Mm-hmm. And they thought that they could take me over into Canada under Bond, like they did the Chinese giant who was with us. He was over 7 feet tall.
What was his name?
Oh, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. He's dead now. Mm-hmm. But because I was an American citizen, they couldn't do that. And I don't know why they couldn't have used my birth certificate to get me over. Maybe it was because they were paying me so much more than all the other girls. And the only thing I did was this one thing on the stage.
What was it that you did?
Well, I was this little prince or something, and there was a huge golden lamp. Aladdin and his wonderful lamp. That was it.
Uh-huh.
And I took all these little midgets out of this lantern, you know. And there was a big tree in on the stage, and a big part of it would fall down, and the fairy queen would come out of the tree. And one day the guy who was supposed to let this board down let it down too soon, and it conked me right on the head. And when I came to, I was staggering around on practically on my knees, and all the audience was standing up trying to see what had happened to me. And I pulled up the curtain real fast. I mean, you didn't let down the curtain. You had to pull it up because it was in the center ring where they had lions and stuff later. So. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I still had the bump.
So you did the same thing for each circus performance?
Yeah. And the other girls got about half my salary, and they had to work on the ladders and on the wires and on the horses and all kinds of things. And that was the only thing I did. So I think maybe that's why they said that they couldn't take me over to Canada.
So you were playing a male part?
Well, I was playing Aladdin, who was a boy, mm-hmm. you know. But you should have seen the goofy costume they had on me. Oh, that's funny. Hmm. So.
And what was your husband doing for the circus?
He was he started out as assistant timekeeper, and then he was the manager for the commissary car that went along on the... See, we had our own train. We had our own bunks, each one, and we lived right on the train. And our trunks were taken on another boxcar and set up. Our places were set up for us each day in the dressing tent. It was fun.
How much did you and your husband get paid?
Well, I was getting $75 a week, and that was at the time when girls were making $18 in stores and so forth. Because when I came back, that was all I earned, was $18 a week.
And how about your husband?
I think he was making about $50 a week on that other job. I really don't remember.
Mm-hmm. And what was the time period where you and your husband worked for Algae Barn Circus?
Well, all the length of time that it took us to go from San Diego up to Seattle, and except for the big towns, the others were one-night stands. And we worked every day. So it must have been about 2 months, I guess, to work our way all the way up there.
Mm-hmm. How long did you and your husband work for the circus?
Well, when they said they couldn't take me over to Canada, why, we both sailed home on the Ruth Alexander, I think it was, So, then we landed in San Francisco, and I stayed with my sister there.
So did you work for the circus for only a couple of months?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What got you started into that?
Well, they were looking for a Chinese girl to play Aladdin, and they had asked my sister, the doctor, who was up in San Francisco at the time. So she told them to look me up, and I got the job. Because I had had stage experience in high school, because I was in all the plays and musicals and anything else that we did there. So I had had stage experience, you know, enough to do this. Mm-hmm. And at that time, most of the Chinese girls were very shy, bashful, you know. I don't think there were any Chinese girls on the stage at that time. Is it going?
Yes. Mm. What schools did you go to?
Well, I went to some grammar schools here in Los Angeles till we moved to Pasadena. Then I went to a grammar school there in John Muir Junior High and Pasadena High.
Mm-hmm. And then what, said you graduated from high school in 1927,
mm-hmm.
And then did you get married in 1927?
No, we didn't get married till 30.
1930. Mm-hmm. So what did you do between 27 and 30?
Well, I just worked at odd jobs, I guess. I think I did do a little movie work, but not too much, because there wasn't too much for us at that time. Well, we didn't have to belong to the guild either. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there was no guild at the time.
Mm-hmm. Did you work through Tom Gubbins?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you worked as extras?
Yes.
What, do you remember roughly how much you were paid for that kind of work?
I think when we started, we got about $9 a day. And then it went to $10, because I know when my boys went to work, they were little, and they were getting $10 a day. So I think it was about $8 or $9 when we started.
You say $8 or $9 a day. How many hours did you have to put
in? That would be an
8-hour
day.
An 8-hour day.
And they didn't feed us or anything else either at that time.
So you did parts in movies and other odd jobs for about 3 years?
Yeah, I worked quite a while for an importer and exporter called Milner's that built my hotel. And it was a very elegant shop, you know. They dressed us in Chinese clothes. And
was it a Chinese owner? Or?
No, but he and his wife made a trip around the world every year, and of course they landed in China, and they had an awful lot of Chinese things.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very fond of the Chinese. They treated us very well.
Do you remember how much you got paid, roughly?
Well, like I say, at that time we were only making $18 a week.
Were you working in the office there, or?
Yeah.
Or
well,
sales? Or?
No, not sales. They wouldn't trust us with sales. I was in the repair department. You know, people would bring in their beads for restringing and stuff that I would send out. I didn't do the repairing, but I was the liaison man between the customer and the shop who did the, whoever it was that did the work for them.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say you think they wouldn't trust you with the sales? Is that because you're too young?
I don't think any. They didn't hire Chinese girls for sales work until in the 40s. And of course, this was in the late 1928, 1929 is when I worked there. And Chinese girls were, any minority group was not hired for sales work at that time.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even consider it at the time? Or you considered it to be out of the question?
Yeah, we just did the odd jobs and stuff. Like one of the girls' job was cleaning the tops of the cases and combing out the fringe on the Chinese shawls. And there was one Chinese girl who was the cashier, and she had to tally up the books and stuff. And then I did that when they opened up the shop in Hollywood. I did wrapping and cashiering work for them. No, in those days, minorities simply weren't given good jobs like that. Especially somebody who didn't have a college education.
So, you got married in 1930. You said you met your husband out at high school in Pasadena?
In 27, uh-huh.
He was a classmate of yours?
No. He lived here all of his life. But his sister had met me when I was working at National Dollar Store one Christmas vacation. And their church, South Park Baptist Church, was having a skating party in Alhambra, so she asked me if I'd like to join them. So I went with them, and that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm. Was he also American born?
Mm-hmm. Born right here.
That's right, you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. So you got married in 30, and then did you have children right away? Or?
No, the first one was born in 32. The second one was born in 34.
Mm-hmm. What did you do between 30 and 31, 32?
Well, he was farming with my brother. So we were farming. And then we took a place of our own in Paris Valley. which is spelled PERRIS.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the first boy was born in San Francisco. My sister delivered him. The second boy was born when we were living in Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
And he was farming. And, you know, of course, that was depression time, remember, 30s. That was very bad. It was hard to get work and everything. That's how come he went to farm with my brother. And so we lost what little we had and came back into town, and that's when Christine Sterling started China City, which was opposite, kind of catacorner from Alvera Street. And the rents were very reasonable because she took this old building, which used to be a blacksmith shop first, and then it was a garage. And she rented that and had the carpenters from MGM come out and build little rooms in this big old shed thing and made little stores. There must have been about about 10 little stores in this one place. And we started a little gift shop called the Flower Hut. And we were there on, let's see, that was 38, I think, when we started that. And Oscar Macy, who owned the property, there was a little space outside of our store, and he built a building for us where we had the store underneath and an apartment up above. And I remember that they had just started the foundation when Pearl Harbor came along. That's the way I remember the date, is because of Pearl Harbor. And that was in December, so it was in 42 that the building was finished, and we moved there. We lived there for 15 years until we bought this place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Did your sons also help out in their business too?
No.
Did you help you? Mm-hmm. Did you work alongside with your husband in the
yeah.
business?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, the boys, Ronald had 1 year of college when he got the draft, and he went in the Navy. Gilbert was never drafted because he was younger. He didn't have to go in the draft. And he married when he was very young. When he finished high school, he was working down at the assessor's office, and he met this cute little Japanese gal, and they fell in love and got married. So he's raised his own family. In fact, he only stayed here a couple of nights. And then my sisters came down. Oh, he wasn't even here a couple of nights because they were going to get married. And they had rented a place, and my sisters all came down to help me with the moving. So he went to sleep in his new place, his apartment. I think maybe he slept two nights here.
Did you say he married a Japanese girl?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about that at the time? Do you have any?
No, I mean, as long as they were in love. I mean, Japanese and Chinese are so close that it was all right. She's turned out to be a very good wife to him, and given him three beautiful daughters. Well, this is Ronald, the oldest one, when he was little.
Uh-huh.
And that one is Gilbert when he was little.
Mm-hmm. What did Ronald do after the Navy?
He worked for the telephone company until he got on at Department of Motor Vehicles. I would rather not talk about that part too much because
Now you mentioned that you and your husband opened the flower hut. How long did you have that business?
When our building was completed, we moved into that, and that was in 42, so we were only there about 2.5-3 years. And our specialty was flower arrangements with using the silk flowers from China, and the bowls, and the little knickknacks and things with it, the statuary and so forth. Then when we moved into the new building, we changed the name, which we shouldn't have done. We called it the Eurasia because of my husband being half Norwegian. We called it Eurasia.
Is it going?
And so we lived there for 15 years. But business got real bad when, during the World War II, you know, with the war with Japan and everything, it was impossible to get Chinese things, practically. And so I started doing movie work, and we just opened it up when I felt like it.
Did your husband do anything else?
Well, he did. Yeah, he was with the sheriff's office for a while. Yeah. But this was our main business, and the movie work. And then he went into his own business, TVA, which is tires, batteries, and accessories. He went to work for a fellow that had that kind of a business, but a big business. But the guy kept cheating him and so forth, so he finally quit and went into business for himself until he retired. And he retired about 1970, I guess.
And when he opened his own business, it was also along the same line as
TVA? Yeah, the TVA. And he had bought a VW van, which he outfitted, and he just carried all of his stock in there, in the van. Then he had his heart attack, and he had to give it up. His first heart attack. That's what he eventually died from, was another one. So, what else?
You said that your husband was half Norwegian?
His mother is Norwegian.
And his father was
Chinese.
Was Chinese. And your sister, Margaret, was a doctor.
She was a physician and surgeon. And like I said, she specialized in psychiatry while she was in Illinois because she was the state psychiatrist.
And did she have a practice here in Los Angeles?
She had a practice for a short time. And she also worked for the Santa Fe Railroad. And then she went up to San Francisco and saw the desperate need of the Chinese women up there for a woman physician, since they were too shy to let a man examine them or anything. And even in childbirth, they would have midwives rather than an MD because they were too shy. So she moved up there opened up an office on Sacramento Street, where she was for many years. Then the building was sold or something, and she moved down to Kearney Street. And she was still there when she passed away.
Mm-hmm. What did she do for the Santa Fe Railroad?
She took care of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that these Mexican workers, you know, down, they would be working out in the sun, laying tracks and repairing tracks and so forth. And they perspired a lot, and they would pass out because they perspired all their salt out of their system. So she gave them salt tablets, which nobody else evidently had thought of before. And that took care of that.
Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles and San Francisco, most of her patients were Chinese?
Mm-hmm. Most of them, but she had quite a few Caucasian patients. In fact, she had some very famous patients, even like the wife of the president of Bethlehem Steel would come out all the way from the East Coast to have her sinuses treated and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And she became very good friends with people in the theatrical field, and everybody that came into town was brought to her office to meet her as a matter of course. And she used to feed anywhere from 40 to 150 people a weekend up at her apartment, because you know these people that are on the road, they don't get home cooked meals. And so they just loved it, you know, getting a home-cooked meal and a Chinese one at that. So I don't know how many pounds of spare ribs she bought every week, and fried rice and chopped soy and spinach and some kind of vegetable and the spare ribs.
How did she meet all these theatrical people?
People brought them to her.
As patients or?
No, just to come meet her. She knew, of course, most of these were before your time, before you were even born. But like Pauline Frederick and Helen, you know, the one that made Julie famous, the one that sang, "Because He's My Bill," you know, "He's Just My Bill."
Mm-hmm.
That girl, Helen somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she was a very good friend of hers. Anyway, a lot of those people became very good friends of hers, and especially Sophie Tucker. And she had in her home, there was a big staircase, and there was all this huge wall there, and that wall was covered with photos of these people, famous people. And she met a lot of Navy men. In fact, some of the fellows who were football players at USC, and they joined the Navy Reserve and learned to fly, and were very frustrated because at that time Japan had invaded China, and nobody was doing anything about it. And these boys went over and became Flying Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they started calling her mom. And then, because she wasn't married, they were called Mom's Fair-Haired Bastards. And more people wanted to join her club. And then the people that didn't fly were called Kiwis. That's the bird without wings.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lily Pons and her husband at that time, the Andre Castellanos. In fact, Andre was one of her pallbearers. And the mayor of San Francisco Admiral Nimitz, and the admiral who was in charge of Treasure Island after the Navy took it over, I have forgotten his name. And John Hamilton, who was in charge of Pan Am's Far Eastern office over in China, Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold Zeilerback, the Zeilerback paper people. They were all her pallbearers when she died. Well,
so she was nicknamed Mom by these Navy men.
Robert Young was one of them. He wasn't in the Navy, but he was one of her group. I worked with him a couple of years ago when he was still making Marcus Welby. So I went up and asked him if he remembered her. He says, "Oh, sure." And he says, "I remember her." And I said, "Well, I'm your aunt then." He says, "Oh, were you born in Santa Barbara?" I said, "No, I was born in Los Angeles." But he remembered all the things that she had told him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I had met him years ago. We were on the same train together going up to San Francisco one time, but only he was in one train and I was in another. And we didn't meet until we met at her office. He and his wife had come up. He was a good-looking youngster.
Did Margaret take care of all these sailors, too? That's why she got nicknamed Mom?
She would take care of them.
Feed
they
them
needed it. Oh, yeah. Send them Christmas presents. And she sent out hundreds of boxes and stuff, you know. Wrote to their families and everything. In fact, this John Hamilton, divorced his first wife, and when they found out what she was doing and how she was treating the child, the court made my sister the guardian of his child until he got married again and then took him back.
Mm-hmm.
But Margaret had delivered Mickey and discovered that she was born without a pancreas, so that she couldn't make her body couldn't manufacture the digestive juices that she needed. And so all her life that poor little thing had to take pills. And ordinarily a child in that condition does not live till past 6 or 7 years of age. And Nikki was almost 22 when she finally died.
Where did your sister study medicine?
At USC. And when she graduated, she interned at the Mary Thompson Hospital in Chicago. And after she finished her internship there, she became the psychiatrist for the state of Illinois. And then when during World War II, she had signed up and came back to say goodbye to us when the armistice was signed, so she just stayed here.
Mm-hmm. And when did she graduate from USC? You said that was 1916?
Must have been 15 or 16, mm-hmm. because the armistice was signed in 1918, and she had completed her internship, and I think internship is at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was she the first Chinese-American woman doctor that you know of, or was she called the first? Or?
I think they called her the first. I don't know for a fact that she was, but she was the first one up in San Francisco. I mean, because there was no other doctor for these women to go to. They simply wouldn't go to a male physician.
Was her office in Chinatown?
Mm-hmm, on Sacramento Street, which is right off of Grand Avenue, which is, you know, the main street
mm-hmm.
of Chinatown there.
So, do you remember your parents using any Chinese medicine, Chinese herbs, or?
I don't remember them using any, although I remember several times I was given some herbs, and the reason I remember it was because they always gave us one of those great big Chinese dates, red dates, to take the taste out of our mouth. However, my father-in-law was an herbalist, and it was his herbs that cured my cough. When I was a senior in high school, I developed a very bad cough that wouldn't seem to go away. And after, I forgot how long, he cooked herbs for me. At least a month. And my cough went away. Mm. And he cured his own wife of TB. His wife had several holes in her lungs, according to the American doctors. So Dad cooked herbs for her for 2 years, every day. And when she went back and had more x-rays, the doctors were amazed that she was cured.
Who was your father-in-law? What was his name?
Yi Xin Chong. Oh, no. Yeah. Xiu Yi Chong. Xiu Yi Chong.
Did he practice here in L.A.?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He never practiced like he never ran an office. He was an insurance man. But if somebody was desperately ill and called him, why, he'd cook up some herbs and fix them up.
Do you have any idea where he learned about herbs? Or? Did you use herbs with your family, for any kind of cure?
No, because I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it. Anyway, when Dad died, Gray sold all the herbs that he had. And he used to have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew nothing about it. So Grace and her husband, who was an MD, but it wasn't either. Yeah. It was another Chinese friend of hers, and they, who read Chinese, the characters and everything. So he helped her bundle them up and everything. She sold it to one of the drugstores in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. So you relied on Western medicine,
mm-hmm.
your family?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you speak Chinese with your parents? The family?
Well, I must have when I was small. But after they died, we just spoke English at home because, we were all going to American schools. So I don't speak enough Cantonese, but if I'm around Cantonese people, it comes back to me. And so that's what makes me think that as a child I spoke it, because things will come back and I'll, if I'm around them long enough, I'll even be able to say a sentence or two in it. Whereas if I'm away from them for any length of time, it just all goes away then.
Mm-hmm. So after your parents died, your brothers and sisters
took care of them.
Just stayed together. Uh-huh. You didn't stay with any aunts or
anything? We didn't have any.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that it was your older sister Anna, who pretty much became the mother in the family.
Yeah, she was only 13 when Dad died. Because I remember her 14th birthday, Dad was still alive then. The rest of the family had given a little party for her, getting things together. I remember how surprised she was. But she did all the cooking and cleaning and washing and ironing and sewing. She did everything for us.